The book of the Revelation, chapter number 19. I want to read the first 10 verses of this chapter. The book of the Revelation, chapter number 19. Beginning in verse number 1, says, "And after these things, I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, Alleluia, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. For true and righteous are His judgments, for He hath judged the great whore, which did corrupt the earth with her fornication, and hath avenged the blood of His servants at her hand. And again they said, Alleluia. And her smoke rose up forever and ever, and the 24 elders and the 4 beasts fell down and worshipped God that sat on the throne, saying, Amen, Alleluia. And a voice came out of the throne, saying, Praise our God, all ye her servants, and ye that fear Him, both small and great. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and the voice of many thunderings, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad, and rejoice, and give honor to Him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and His wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. And he saith unto me, Write, Blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, These are the true sayings of God. And I fell at his feet to worship him. And he said unto me, See thou do it not. I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank You. We have the wonderful privilege to enter this house today to be with Your people. Lord, we find that Your Word is truth. And, oh God, how we need truth. For we know from Your Word that when we know the truth, it sets us free. Lord, I pray today for those who are bound, for those who are bound in their sin. It has control over them that this might be a day that they're set free. May they recognize today that there is a wonderful, wonderful Savior who has called us to be at His side, to have a relationship with Him, to be a part of Him. To yea be a part of the wondrous bride of Christ. I pray for Your people today that You might cause that truth to enter in our and help us to understand the wonderful purpose that You have given to the church today. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. I want to ask you this morning, how many of you are invisible? Is there anybody here that is invisible? I don't see any of those invisible people. We don't count them in our roll. We do not have any fellowship with them. And yet there are folks today who are saying to you and to me that the church is invisible. Do you realize that the word church means assembly? It means a group of people who are called out. They assemble together. And they come into one place, and they have come together for the purpose, and that purpose to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a place whereby you and I cooperate together to take the gospel to a lost and dying world. And within the realms of this organization, if you please, organism would be a better word, are some allegorical types that help us to understand a little bit about what the church is. Last week we looked at the church is a building. We saw in that building that it is something that the Lord Jesus Christ must do. He is the one who can form those blocks. He is the one who puts us together and gives to us the strength that we so need. He is the author and the finisher of our faith, if you please. And as we saw that building last week, it also reminds us that buildings are in one location. Though the materials may come from many places, yet they come into one place. And they're for the purpose especially as a building for protection. We find in the building that there is an interdependence upon the materials that are there. As we saw one block laid upon another block, as we might see in this building one board nailed into another, as you see it constructed together. But it's the Lord Jesus Christ who does that building. And He does it in localities all around the world. Its head is Jesus Christ, but under that head is a pastor. It has operational directives that we looked at in the book of Titus. We also find that the Bible speaks of another allegory, and that is the bride. We will see that this week that bride is in one place with one husband. That husband-to-be, if you please. And in that position, as the bride in prospect, she is in the process of purification. She's in the process of coming into relational position with that is her groom. We will also see, and I imagine next week, a body. And the church is likened unto a body, and we see in that it is also in a distinct location. And as a body, it has many different parts that must function together in order to accomplish a single goal. Just as your body is directed by its head, all the parts together function together for one purpose, and that is to whatever it is the head is leading it to do. The church is shown in these three different allegories. It's seen also not only in its present state, but also its future state. A local assembly right now is that which is being built by the Lord, and it's that which you and I can see. But there comes a day when the Lord calls us out. There comes that day, and we call the rapture, when we go into the very presence of the Builder. And He even refers to it in the book of the Revelation as the Holy Jerusalem descending out of heaven. As you and I are a part of that great assembly that now has arrived in heaven. As a bride preparing herself for the arrival of her groom, it's a picture of relationship in progress. As it's beautifying itself for that rapturous call. And at that call, we find that all the churches, if you please, are then brought together and they are assembled with the Lord and there to be finally going to the bridal chamber with our Lord. A body is vibrant. It has its many members and they're working together and hence itself. And yet one day, all those bodies will be called together to be present with the Lord as one body. The problem we find today is that a lot of Christians are worried about bringing all the churches together. By the way, God is building each church. It's His job to bring them all together at the rapture. It's not our job now. It is His job to take care of that at that time. We are to what? Seek after the one accord, the unity within our local body, and to be working within it. And as we this morning consider this local church as a part of that bride-to-be, I believe there's great reason for us to use this allegory. For as we stop and we consider a bride, as we think about this one who is about to be married, this one who is about to be taken by the groom into the bridal chamber, we must go back a little ways. I'm going to make an assumption right now. Sterling, I'm going to call upon you. Did you ask Christine to be your bride? Penny, I'll look back just a little bit farther. Did Nick ask you to be his bride? There was an invitation given. Most generally, always given by the man to the woman. And that's the way it ought to be. For he is a symbol of the groom and she is a symbol of what the bride. A symbol of Christ and His people. In our society today, we get this backwards sometimes. And by the way, we are going against the type of Christ in doing so. By the way, ladies, do you know that's why you take His name? That's why Eve took Adam's name. He shall be called Adam, which means man. She is Eve, which means woman. Man, a part of her name. In the Hebrew, it's Ish and Ishi. And so you find this symbolism going. But first of all, there's an invitation. And there's an invitation that is given by the Lord Jesus Christ. It's given to every individual. And that is to become a part of Him. In other words, we go to a verse like Romans 10:13. It says, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." He has given an invitation for us to say yes. He has given that invitation out to you and I to receive Him, to accept His invitation into heaven, if you please, into that very bridal chamber with our Savior. And you and I have the privilege to say yes, but we also have the privilege to say no. You see, your entrance into heaven, your entrance to be with God, is not based upon what you do, but it's upon who you receive. How do you get married? When you look at the marriage ceremony, there are some questions that are asked. There are some vows that are made. There's no work done. It's merely a public acceptance of what your intentions are. That's how you get married to Christ. It's not what you do, but it's by an acceptance of who He is, accepting His person, accepting what He did for you upon the cross of Calvary. You see, right now, you and I, we are in a state that's called engagement by our terms today. Betrothal. The Apostle Paul said that he betrothed us unto Christ. You and I, we are in this state of engagement. The engagement ring has been bought and paid for. It was with a great price, for it took the very lifeblood of the groom to pay for that engagement. That ring that comes round about you and I today, that which says, hey, this thing is settled, this thing is good, is none other than the Holy Spirit of God who envelops us. When you and I accept His invitation. Did you give her a ring, Sterling? Did you give her a ring? Did you buy it at Walmart? I'm not going to ask you what you paid for, but it probably took some of your blood. It costs something. Somebody tell me, but I think today engagement rings are somewhere in the thousands. Not like my day, you could get them for under $1,000 if you were a cheapskate. It's not like you're going to the dime store, which is now Kmart, and buying that little thing that you could squeeze back and forth and it would fit her no matter what. Guys, if you do that, she's not going to be impressed with you. But what happens? That engagement ring is saying, hey, I have full intentions to fulfill my promise to you. You have accepted my proposal, and I am promising that this will take place. The Lord Jesus Christ bought and paid for our redemption. And as He did so, that engagement ring is available if we will accept it. And when we do, the Holy Spirit of God encompass you and I. From that moment until we enter the bridal chamber,
you and I are in a position of getting ready for the groom. As the bride of Christ in this local church, we have a responsibility, and that is of purifying ourselves for the groom. As I've walked up, and most times it's in the upstairs room that they're getting ready, and as I've walked into that room, I always want to knock first because you want to make sure that, well, anyways. And you walk in, and oftentimes they're doing some little thing and fixing some makeup, or they're fixing the hair, they're doing this, they're doing that, and those last-minute preparations. But long before they've ever even gotten into that room, long before that time, that bride-to-be and those bridesmaids, they are busy. They're planning, they're preparing. They're getting all the stuff ready. Honest to goodness, as a pastor and performing the service, when I read what all I have right there, I can read it in 10 minutes. And I see them come in with trucks and cars and start pulling out stuff and taking stuff here and stuff there. And I'm thinking we're doing all of this, and I need to lengthen this little thing out a little bit. But then I get, after all of that and all the stuff comes in, I get somebody like Sterling says, make it real short and simple. And because then she said, yeah, do that. But all that preparation, that is a beautiful picture of the local church. You see, that preparation can't take place worldwide. It's right here. And each of us here, if we're saved, we are the bride-to-be, but we're also bridesmaids. Primping and working on each other to get ready for that one grand event when we become that bride and go into the bridal chamber with our Savior. Somebody has said, preacher, what's heaven going to be like? Are we going to know our relatives up there? What are we going to look like? What are things going to be like? What are we going to do all day? You haven't figured out what you are yet. You're a bride. And all you're concerned about is Him. That's the only thing that counts. That's all there is. I don't always see it in brides on earth, but oftentimes I do, especially amongst our own young folks. That bride comes in that back door back there, and people are standing, and generally all they can see just right in front of them. But when this aisle is formed right here, and a lot of times they have the white carpet down there. I haven't figured out why yet, but it's there. And just as they turn that corner, something takes place. The bride doesn't look at me. Out of the peripheral vision, she might see the people, and she might see her bridesmaids and the groomsmen. But all she can see is, there he is. Come on, Dad. She wants up there with him. She is ready to hear the preacher say, wilt thou? She's ready to say that she's going to give herself wholeheartedly to him. Oh, I stand real close. I see the sparkle in the eyes. Remember it? Huh? Yeah. Chris, you remember it? Oh, yeah. And there it is. And then finally, the preacher says,
I pronounce you. By the way, it shouldn't be man and wife. He better be a man by the time he gets there. Amen. Husband and wife. He lifts the veil, which, by the way, is hiding the beauty till the last moment. So many times the daddy does. Hiding the face that is... And he kisses her. First wedding I ever went to was my sister's. I had a part in that. I lit the candles. My sister thought I was a pyromaniac and I'd just have an opportunity to burn the church down, but I succeeded in just getting the candles. And there was something I never forgot about that entire wedding. One is that in my part, my stupid nephew came up and stood there and watched me the whole time lighting those candles. He wasn't supposed to, but he did. And the second thing was when the preacher announced their name and said, "This is Mr. and Mrs. Barr." And the music began to play. Zoom! They took off down the aisle. Her skirt is flowing, her dress skirt. Her dress is flowing behind. And they are running down the aisle. Now, I don't remember, but they've been smart. They just kept running. Why is that? That's always given me a picture of what it's going to be like one of these days. We've now been brought together into the bridal chamber where love is sweet for all of eternity. Where are we at right now? We're not at the bridal chamber. We're in the local church. What are we? We're a people who have been brought together for a purpose, and that is to build each other in the things of Christ. To primp, if you please. To beautify. To help each other to become their very best. As we think about purity, one of the traits of a Baptist church is, and ought to be of all churches, and that is, in order to be a part of a church, you must be saved and baptized. It cannot be a pure church without that. For how can somebody be a part of that who does not know Christ as their Savior? Are there churches where that's not so? Is it true here? Yes, there have been people who have made false professions. There are those who have said yes, but they were not. But by all means, that is the desire that we ought to have. But more than that, there needs to be purity and performance. Like Esther, we are in that position where we're preparing ourselves as that bride. There ought to be some things that are taking place in our lives as we help each other in that area. You see, a local church is really that time of preparation before the bride enters the bridal chamber. Though we might call it a bride, and we might call ourselves the bride, but in actuality, we are in prospect, if you please. We're not there yet. We haven't all been called together yet, but each in our own localities, as we gather together, is for that purpose. One of the things that we do as we gather together to purify ourselves is we think about the groom. We think about the one whom we are about to marry. We think about the one whom we love. And we build each other in that. Do you like Sterling? Is he okay? Did your sister ever talk to you about him? Did she? What'd she say? She liked him. Did she ever tell you some of his good traits?
Yes.
He has some. What are they? What'd she tell you? You feel like you're on... They're not listening. It's just you and me. They're all taking a nap. Huh? Did she tell you how cute he was? I would never do that, but she might tell you that. Okay. She tell you he kind of looks like Abraham Lincoln with his beard? You said that. So you told her that. Okay. What else did you tell her about him? You don't remember? She's your sister. Where's she at anyways? Oh man, is she going to be sorry? I'm trying to demonstrate something to you, because what happens as a church is what two sisters are doing about him. Are they sitting there talking about how terrible he is? No. What she knows about him, she's what? Saying about it and teaching her about him. Things perhaps she's heard, perhaps some things she's observed in his life. Because why? Because she wants her sister to be totally happy with him in realizing who he is. And listen, brethren, though we be imperfect individuals, and we know that Sterling has some imperfections, all I was going to say is you have a mother-in-law now, but I'll just leave that alone. Come back to us, Quentin. We're having a little bit of fun here, but I hope we're getting some idea that what we are doing is what? Building each other in our desire of Christ. And what's it all about? That one day we might be with Him, and that day we're with Him, nothing else is going to matter. Nothing else is going to matter. But you and I, we come together, what for? That we might build each other. How do we do that? As we come together, listen, did you ever stop and think about it? The first song that we sang today, "A Mighty Fortress Is Our God." Now some people, they just pick up the book and they say, boy, that's hard words to say. What's all that mean? And this and that and the other thing. And boy, that's a little bit of a hard tune to go by. And just kind of with disgust, not even allow it to what? Speak to their heart and their mind. Do you realize that song is telling us that we have a God that can take us against a devil that is seeking to destroy us? And He is a mighty bulwark that never fails. He's the one that can defeat Satan, verse number 3 talks about very vividly. What's that doing? It's telling us about our groom. And yet so often we sit in a service and the songs are sang, we sit there. What would we think of a bride who doesn't allow any of her attendants to help her? But that's what we do sometimes. If I remember correctly, there was a point when she kind of turned. She had a big trail on her. Why do we put these things on the back of dresses? I think it's particularly that we might all be able to see, because you had to bend over and kind of get this thing straightened out and so forth. Why? Because she's wanting her to just look beautiful all the time. And to keep everything just right. That's our job as God's people. And so we come together and we sing. We come together and we should be praying. Teaching each other how to talk to Him. Isn't that a weird thing that we as Christians sometimes don't want to talk to God together? Why are we like that? Why are we afraid that somebody might hear us talk to God?
serious. I'm just serious. Why is it we can gather for prayer in a group of folks, and sometimes we're afraid to talk to God because somebody might hear us talk to Him? That'd be kind of weird. She never wants to talk to Him? Wouldn't you think that would be kind of weird of her? Christina, the phone's ringing. It's Sterling. He's on the phone here. No, I don't want to talk to him. Well, why not? Well, because somebody might hear me. By the way, it's pretty natural to hear somebody express love to another. Amen. It'd be pretty natural that we might say, man, I need this help and that help. But we come together for that purpose, that we might pray to Him. And seeking, by the way, together, and to seek His help together. What? That we might be more like Him, because we need His help to do all that. Yeah. We listen to messages. What for? Because they are prepared simply to help us get ready. It's taken that Bible, which is our great book, and taking just a little portion of it as we this morning and trying to make sense with it. That's what it's all about. We've been betrothed. We're in a position of engagement. We're in a place that's called a local church that one day will be called, or sometimes referred to now, as the Bride of Christ. But we're here for a purpose that's to enhance each other, to build, and yea, even to what? Take off the blemishes that might be there, to remove the soil that might be there, but always doing it for the purpose of making the bride ready for the bridal chamber. That's what it's all about. And in our scripture today, that bride comes to Him. What a day that will be. Are you ready for it? First of all, have you accepted His invitation? Because He has made the proposal to you. And that proposal is, I want to change who you are. I want to change your destination. Because we're sinners headed to hell. We deserve that. But Jesus said, I paid the price, and here's the engagement ring. If you will accept it, it's not something you do. You start working after you get the engagement ring. You start preparing then, but not before. And by the way, one of the great things we find is the Holy Spirit, who comes, as I have described it, as that engagement ring and encloses you and I, He becomes our great helper to purify us and to make us like unto Himself, along with each other as we enhance each other. What a beautiful picture we have. Have you accepted His invitation? Without it, you can never be a part of the bride. You can never be with God for eternity. But Christian, let me ask you this. Are you in the position of purifying yourself and helping your brethren to purify themselves with love and concern and desire? You boil it all down, it's pretty simple. Lord God, today, work in our hearts. Lord, I pray you take some of the homely illustrations I have given. Thank you for Emily being so helpful. Lord, I know she was probably embarrassed, but I thank you. I pray, oh God, that though Sterling may have been a little embarrassed, and yet what a beautiful picture we have. And Lord, we've seen that demonstrated here over and over again with so many that sat in this room. And yet, Father, we fail to recognize what our position is today. As we're in that position of preparing, that position of purifying, and yea, Lord, even that position where we're sending out the invitations that you have made. Lord, I pray you work in hearts. I wonder, heads are bowed and eyes are closed with no one looking around, please. I just want to ask some personal questions, and so it's just between you, me, and God. Nobody looking around, please. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever accepted the invitation of the Lord Jesus Christ to be a part of Him? You know that. You are assured of that. You have accepted His invitation to be a part of His life. I wonder, can you raise your hand in testimony to that? I know that, preacher. I know it. Don't raise it unless you know that. God bless you all over. Some could not raise their hand. Either you do not understand my question, or you realize there's a need in your life. I wonder today if there's one here today, say, preacher, I realize that He's invited me, and I need to accept that invitation. I don't completely understand it. I'm a little fearful. Maybe something else. Preacher, would you pray for me? I want to do that. I need that in my life. I need Him. I need Him. Would you slip your hand up? I might pray for you. Nobody's looking around. God bless you, another. Amen. I see the hands. Moreover, God sees the hearts. Is there another? You can put them down. Christian, how about you? Are you preparing? Are you purifying? And are you helping your brethren? As we learn in Sunday school, sometimes rather than helping our brethren, we are hindering them with our lack of belief by seeing circumstances instead of Christ. I wonder, Christian, is one here to say, preacher, I'm concerned today. Would you pray for me? Would you slip your hand up? Is there one like that? I see the hands. Father, today, work in hearts. I pray, oh God, today would be a day of salvation. I pray that, Lord, that you would this day help those who realize that you have made an invitation to them, accept that invitation. Lord God, I pray today for your people. We might realize the position that we have in preparation and purifying. And Lord God, especially as we come together as a group, and all that transpires has a purpose. Lord God, bless and work in our lives in these moments. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.